It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You have to check off the box that you are actually going where these applicants might be, that they're aware of you. They're aware of what the role is. They're aware that they would be welcome to try out. So when affirmative action actually happened way back when versus a quota system, that's what it was supposed to mean. You had to affirmatively prove that you were reaching out in ways that would reach a wide and diverse group of people. I'm fine with that. But this idea that diversity has to be a goal, and in the case of the Secret Service, 30% women by 2030, is ludicrous. How do you know that number is doable? And one of the elements of the shooting at President Trump, you had women, one looked to be not fit at all, and the other, or a couple of them, were not big enough to block bullets that still might be headed for them. That's why at the convention you saw these huge guys with them. That's the bottom line. I mean, is it silly to say, let's look at the NBA. You know, who in the WNBA, for example? These are allegedly the world's best women basketball players. One of them went toe-to-toe with Steph Curry, shooting threes, Dan, and I thought she might have been able to beat him. It was that close. Iesco, I guess it is, right? She couldn't play on an NBA team. She couldn't guard anybody. She's not quick enough to get her shot off against anybody in the NBA. She can shoot if it's a three-point shooting contest, but that's not what it is. So I don't think there's anybody there that could play in the NBA. Brittany Griner, they laugh at her, you know, even though she's 6'10", 6'11", whatever she might be. It's just not doable. So the NBA's not looking for diversity. The NFL's not looking for diversity. They're looking for who gives them a millimeter of a better shot at winning. That's the only thing that's all important. So this idea, this continued idea that we're not about diversity, and that's why Kamala Harris is such a breakthrough. However they want to go back and rewrite history. Joe Biden had all these deals. He was going to pick a woman, and then after he said that, he gradually started to say, it's going to be a black woman. And you remember the interviews. And she is a disaster. Polling indicates that. Their argument on the other side is, no, it doesn't. You are looking at a jaundiced eye where you only think that white men have the ability to do a job. You try to come up with metrics when it's males against females, physical fitness, and it's doable. They don't want to hear that. All right, Miranda Devine, though, is on to something big here because of all the stuff with the FBI, Secret Service, big-time writer for the New York Post. Dan, she's going to be on with a Nicholas Giordano today, or she already was?
I think she already was, but I don't know.
I'm following another Giordano? That's
in
my contract.
In it's
that
too many.
No,
too
that
many.
Can't happen. That's too many Giordanos in one day for Miranda Devine. Miranda, welcome in. Why are you scheduling so many Giordanos?
Hi there.
Hi, Miranda. Yeah, why are you scheduling so many Giordanos? I thought you would be more diverse. Come on.
Look, I just think it's just luck today. This must be my Giordano day. And it's been a lot of fun, I must say. Your cousin, Nicholas the Professor, is got a fantastic podcast, and he's into a lot of national security stuff, so he's very knowledgeable. And then, so out of the frying pan, into the fire now, and you're another fantastic Giordano.
Well, thank you.
So wherever your ancestors came from in Italy, it was obviously a very good place with lots of good food to build the brain.
Not wrong.
Well, you have another great piece here in the New York Post today, and it's ripped from so many stories, not just the FBI, but what we saw happening with the shooting of President Trump. So what's the premise of this report by whistleblowers about local cops?
Well, this is a group of retired and serving FBI people, very senior, and there are a lot of them, and they just were moved by the terrible state that the FBI is in, the reputation, the loss of trust, to last fall. They did a report on how DEI is just decimating the new recruits in the FBI. They've got these incompetent, physically unfit, drug addicted, mentally ill, just hopeless candidates are coming in and really destroying the bureau. But their latest report, which I've written about today, is about how local law enforcement partners, which is local cops and sheriff's deputies all around the country, which are vital to the FBI being able to do anything about crime or whatever it is they do, I've just lost so much trust with them that they have started to withhold information. They don't trust them. They don't want to share anything with them. They think that ultimately, that these FBI people are so woke, they're so arrogant, that they're afraid that they themselves, that the local cops themselves, will somehow come under FBI scrutiny for having the wrong political views, aka if they're conservative. And the real loss of trust started around the January 6th, 2021 Capitol riot, when these local law enforcement people were being prevailed upon by the FBI to do things that they felt were wrong, you know, to round up people that were innocent or to raid them or just basically it looked like this was a political and partisan investigation and targeting Trump supporters quite wrongly. And then, of course, came the Mar-a-Lago raid, Donald Trump's residence, which the FBI conducted. And again, local law enforcement partners looked at that, even if they weren't, you know, personally involved, they looked at that from afar and saw that there was something really wrong about raiding a former president, and that it was of a piece with this bias that they saw among the FBI, particularly the new agents.
And that's why yesterday when we hear Christopher Wray testify, there was a blow up over January 6th, to your point. But also, we don't trust them, and they're investigating probably something even more untrustworthy, what the Secret Service dropped the ball with the shooting of President Trump.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is the problem, and you saw it yesterday with a lot of the Republican questions, which was how can we trust the FBI to conduct this, you know, investigation of how the Secret Service handled that assassination attempt and allowed this, you know, 20-year-old kid to get up on a roof with a rifle and shoot at the president and kill, you know, the poor fireman, Corey Comparatore. So how can we trust them? This is the same organization that buried the Hunter Biden laptop, that pre-bunked the Hunter Biden laptop with the social media organizations, which ultimately ended up with the New York Post being censored. I mean, that was the FBI interfering in the election. And then, of course, there was the whole Russia hoax, you know, the Mueller investigation, the crippling of Donald Trump's presidency, basically from before it even started, by the FBI. So there's been no accountability. So why would we trust them to now conduct this incredibly important investigation? And Chris Wray was no help. You know, he's wide-eyed and innocent. Oh, how could anyone not trust the FBI?
Yeah, it is a shame. Every American institution, the Secret Service, just the latest to bite the dust. Miranda, I really trust your opinion on this. I just said a moment ago, the only way that I can know to keep a shot at diversity, but also excellence, is to make sure rigorously you are advertising, you're promoting what you do, that you want people of all backgrounds to take a shot at becoming a member, FBI, a Secret Service, whatever it might be. Almost anything else that you do after that, I'm afraid, is going to be a downturn. You have to have certain metrics in place that are objective, and if you can't meet them, you can't be a member.
Well, that's the way it used to be. I mean, that's the way the whole of America used to be. It was a meritocracy, and it didn't matter where you were from, you know, how rich you were, how wealthy your family was, what university you went to. If you were good, if you were smart, if you worked hard, this was a country of opportunity where you could get ahead. And that was why it was a beacon for, you know, people all over the world to escape their corrupt and, you know, elitist and authoritarian or aristocratic regimes and come to America where everyone had a fair go. But you know, the people in charge right now, particularly in the Biden administration and previously in the Obama administration, they talk about equity, which is communism, basically. It's the opposite of meritocracy. And DEI is just one venue, one avenue for them to infect all these institutions, particularly in the government, but, you know, also in the private sector.
Dan tells me the Post has a story today about this amendment to the DOJ budget being pushed by Republican Bill Hagerty of Tennessee. It involves $11 million a year that's been siphoned off for real law enforcement going to Jack Smith.
Yes. Look, this is good on Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee. He's, I mean, unfortunately, the Democrats just kiboshed it, but it's he's hoping to push it for a vote so everyone's names are up in neon lights. And it's basically to stop Jack Smith, the Trump-hunting special counsel, who has a lavish spending budget. It's not enough that he's got his own money, but he's then purloining $11 million a year from the FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service.
Wow.
That was appropriated to them for real law enforcement, you know, supposedly to catch crooks. But instead of that, Jack Smith's using it to pursue Donald Trump and this bogus attack that he's spearheading. So, look, at least the Republicans are trying to do something. And the way to do it in Congress with their little narrow power that they have in the House is through the money, through the funding.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
They are getting their act together and sort of targeting that. And I think Bill Hagerty had a good go at it today.
Miranda, thank you so much. Thanks for always answering the call. Local cops refusing to share info with the FBI. Crisis of confidence. DEI hires. In today's column, when do people find you in the Post?
So I'm in there definitely every Monday and every Thursday, but I'm also sprinkled throughout the week with as stories come up, I'll do that. And I'm on Twitter at Miranda Devine, and I've got a new book coming out in September, which is basically about the deep state cover-up of the Hunter Biden laptop and the Biden family's grift, and particularly the CIA protecting Joe Biden for many decades.
When we talk about the deep state, now what you're talking about maybe is a little different. The first thing I think of that slowed down Trump is not even malevolence on that CIA level, but it's the bureaucrats that are there forever that put hurdles in place. They may be ideologically bent, or they're just bureaucrats. And for Trump, they went all out to try to thwart just about anything. So what is we've had on the Project 25 now? 2025 is the boogeyman. What's the way to deal with that? I think the Project 2025 is methodical. I wouldn't have put it down on paper. I just would be having it somewhere and doing it. How do you break that?
Well, interestingly, you should say that because your cousin, Nicholas Giordano, has his own theories. He used to work for Department of Homeland Security back in 9/11 days, and he says you should cut the bureaucracy in half, and you know, the average person wouldn't notice anything.
Yes.
Cut the FBI in half. You know, you get rid of those top layers of people that are causing the problem, and you in my view, you just eliminate DEI from every aspect of society. You make that, you know, you probably have a DEI czar who's more effective than Kamala Harris, and you just make sure that everything's back onto a merit level. Get rid of the ideologues and the Marxists from the top, and have accountability. You know, there has to be accountability built in to every agency.
We'll be looking for your book and have you back multiple times on that. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Thanks. Miranda Devine here from the New York Post. One of our favorites. Hunter Biden, part two, Dan, the deep state. So when I say deep state, I see more, not even the schemers, CIA level and all. That's there, too. It's just the everyday, at every level, the federal government. Ideologues blocking stuff, slow walking stuff, just being forced. You know, you get tired, you get worn down having to deal with them. Herbert, she said, if you got rid of half of these agencies, the education department, it's a layup. We don't need the education department. That's a state level thing. That's not Project 2025. That's common sense. You remember the Reverend Jeremiah Wright? Remember that when it got found out with President Obama and here in Philadelphia? I was down there for that speech at the Constitution Center. He had to throw under the bus.
America's chickens!
There you go.
Are coming home to roost.
He had to throw under the bus all kinds of white people, too, to say they do it, too, in this speech that some found glittering. Because he got caught with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright as his pastor, if you will. And he was in attendance for what this nutbag did at various times. Well, Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, is a dues-paying member of a San Francisco church with a radical pro-reparations pastor, so much so that her pastor, Reverend Amos Brown, Third Baptist Church of San Francisco, recently bragged to Religion News Services about Harris's connection to the church, describing her as a dues-paying member. He is someone so high up that he was second in...
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Command on all that stuff going on in California with reparations, how much reparations shall be paid. Remember when Newsom put together that committee and they're working on their report and all that? Now, it's not, I don't have any things that he has said as of now, like the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who finally got caught 5 days after 9/11 saying that America's chickens had come home to roost. Remember that? Meaning we deserved it.
America's chickens are coming home to roost.
He was a great speaker. Great. And he had a big Philadelphia connection. I think Mount Airy connection, something like that. That was President Obama dealing with this. Now, I'm not sure if Republicans have any, they should have by now, any sound of the Reverend Amos Brown talking about all these things, because I suspect, if not right after 9/11 like that, that this guy is saying things that most politicians would not want to have the anchor of being identified with them. So we'll see. If they start running ads like that, we also talked about Willie Horton today with Vice President Harris and some of the things that she did as a prosecutor. Michael Whatley, the head of the RNC, said, well, what about what she did as a U.S. senator? Okay. And we haven't seen a lot of ads. So I think Republicans got caught a little bit here. Yeah, I do. Not overwhelming. I think they were doing their due diligence on Harris. But let's face it. They were locked in. They were figuring Biden. He can't possibly win. Now let's direct our efforts toward Biden with also trying to keep him in office at the same time. So maybe not enough effort on Harris, but there is still time. And we've had this for a few days now. And there is a good bit of catch up that can be done based upon the fact that she was voted the most liberal senator beyond Sanders and beyond Elizabeth Warren. And people are trying to take that survey down now. All right, 855-839-1210. The wildest, Dan, and I'd love to see this because I think this guy is good in business, certain businesses. But other than that, he's kind of moronic. The latest pitch out there today, if she really wants to win, tag in Mark Cuban as the VP choice. Oh, my God. A guy that has Trump derangement syndrome of the most extreme nature.
I loved Mark Cuban for a long time.
Right.
Indiana alum,
right.
Frat guy from out there. I felt like we vibed similar. He actually has an office here in our building, I think, believe it or not.
He does?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so I've always had kind of a soft spot for him, always liked him on Shark Tank. But recently,
right.
Dom, ever since Elon Musk and the other billionaires have started endorsing Trump
mm-hmm.
and trying to say, hey, other billionaires, get on board, he's been openly critical of them supporting Trump and being political and all this, while with the same, you know, fist also supporting Biden and telling how he didn't, you know, support whoever replaces Biden. Even if Biden died, he'd support Biden, stuff like that. So he's just incredibly political himself, and he seems to insert himself into every political debate, and he's really started to grate on me, and I hate to say I've started to turn on Mark Cuban.
Well, I think he's a savant, meaning he's not so good in almost anything, Dan, doesn't know what he's doing, but he has a talent in one particular area. What is that, though?
I mean,
an idiot savant is sometimes...
No. I'm saying, like, what's his particular area?
Oh, that in the business world, particularly, he made a lot of his money with technology of various sorts. All right? If you Google it, you'll see that's where the core of it came from.
So I need all of us to really open up and talk to each other. Even when it's difficult. Even when it's not something that we're comfortable with, particularly those of you who look like me in the white community. Because it's hard to discuss race when you're white.
All right. So, yeah, he is good on Shark Tank, even though I like the main Mr. Wonderful. Is hard to beat, but 855-839-1210. All right, hit us on the side, question two. Something that shows that we're almost already into the future. Politico's got a big piece up that's reasonable. I know it seems unreasonable. There are people, Dan, who still
say... I played the wrong clip of Cuban. I do have the one I have. Me now.
Okay, go ahead.
Kind of this White House roundtable discussion about healthcare costs. What did it entail? What was your message?
Well, the goal of the panel was to look at why healthcare, particularly pharmaceutical prices, are so high and the role of middlemen in pushing those prices up. And, you know, as you already know, Morgan, there's three big PBM companies that really distort pricing for healthcare and pharmaceuticals.
Wow, I'm horrible. I'm looking for a clip. He says, quote, if they were having Biden's last week and it was him versus Trump and he were being given his last rice, I would still vote for Joe Biden. I failed. I apologize, Dom.
Yeah, he does have a deep Trump derangement syndrome. All right, J.D. Vance now, under fire, some polling, not good. Politico has a big piece up, and I find this interesting on a human level. I can never imagine growing a beard. You know, I just,
Do it!
I did do it once, and I could never go back and do that.
Right, just in honor of J.D. Vance.
No pictures. And they say that historically, Politico now, facial hair reportedly looked unhygienic to people, but more recent research has shown that voters perceive facial hair as deeply masculine, which could come with both positive connotations like competency and negative ones like aggression and less support of feminist issues.
Do I look deeply masculine?
Yes, I see it now. Well, let's ask people on YouTube and other places, does Dan look deeply masculine, in addition to which, does he look like he has more aggression and doesn't support feminist issues?
Well,
Yeah.
No, I support.
I'm trying to picture various people with beards or those with
beards. So what would I have to bargain with you for you to not shave through November? Like if we did, like, Dom's not going to shave until the election.
Oh, God, I can't even
Come
imagine.
On. I want to see how long it gets. You're Italian. You're an Italian guy.
Oh, a week. If I come back from the shore, that would
look
be
like
it.
Brandon Marsh.
I just have a dread. I check my shavers all the time going to the shore. I couldn't imagine. On the weekend, sometimes I don't shave for 2 days, and I can't wait to Sunday night to shave.
YouTube.com/@12WPHD. Look at my masculine face.
There. Is he aggressive toward women? And
Trump said
he has a rugged everyman, a young Abraham Lincoln. So here's the thing, Dan. We get people all the time on Twitter and otherwise, and I think you agree with me on this. They think these things are all don't shave. All things that are superficial, like Josh Shapiro's height. And I'm telling you, I don't. Candidates, by and large, have been more attractive. You're not going to see guys like they used to be back in the day before we had. You're not going to see a Dwight D. Eisenhower usually. You know, how many really unattractive people have been in the upper rung of president or vice president recently? Most of them are relatively okay. Some of them are really attractive. They're fit. You're not going to see a Taft. You're not going to see a 300-pound guy as president. I don't think so. So these things all matter, and they have teams of people trying to help them. This is the first guy, if elected, in over 100 years that would be a full beard. You don't see it. Is that it? An advantage?
I get your points, yeah. But I still want to see you with a beard.
Back to that again. All right. We'll work. Ro likes it too. So
No, seriously. Like we got to have it happen.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I'm pushing really hard right now.
Okay.
And Ro, if you're listening, I need you fully on board with this one.
All right. 855-839-1210.
Threaten to take away the new version of the Barca Lounger if he doesn't do it.
I haven't seen pictures, right? Have you with J.D. Vance without a beard?
I think I remember the guy. He was back in 2016, wasn't he? Going
you think
around
he has
that?
The weak chin that you always talk about, or something like that?
I have that's a weak chin. That's why I have to do. The
I know.
Beard.
I know you say that. Yeah,
like my
I
chin just runs
it.
Into my yeah. neck. Yeah, he does. He has a very weak chin.
Okay, maybe
double
that's,
chin.
That's maybe
he has the same thing I have, Dom. It's
maybe that's helpful.
It's like he has a skinny fat face.
But when you're looking at candidates, we all want to say, "Why would that matter? That doesn't matter," and all that. Oh, come on now, it does. There is an edge to it. Now, Trump gets away with it, the comb over, the hair, because he knows how to deprecate well. He uses it very effectively. But how is the hair an advantage? I don't know. I just think he's got the whole package of everything else, and people say, what the hell with the hair? You can't make it up. That hair is effective.
What, Trump's?
Yeah. The way he jokes about it works.
It makes him like a caricature, though. It gives him a look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
if
does.
He continues with the self-effacing humor, too. It's...
Yeah, which is always good. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us. Oh, I see one coming up that will tell us we're in the future, Dan. I see a potential winner right there on line two. Dom Giordano's show. So this pastor, Dan, more is surfacing about the pastor for maybe because of the attention for Kamala Harris. Apparently, DJ just sent me this story. There was an Asian rapper who rapped, owns a restaurant and grocery store about what's going on, crime in San Francisco. The mayor is African-American female, London Breed, blamed her in the rap, which is now picking up views. And allegedly, and the newspaper chronicles some of this, Kamala Harris's pastor paid him a visit. And the argument is the intimidation was pretty bad. And the reverend, her pastor, ultimately withdrew his defense and said something like maybe things got out of hand, etc. I'm telling you, this guy's not the Reverend Jeremiah Wright per se, but you're seeing more attention paid to it. And with President Obama, Dan, that was such a major moment. I became friendly with the former VP candidate, the first woman, Geraldine Ferraro. Yeah, I visited her. Dan almost had her here for seven fishes and all. She was ill then at that point because she resented his attacks. She was running against Hillary Clinton at that point, essentially on white people, throwing them under the bus because of the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Imagine Dom Giordano, Geraldine Ferraro. It was fascinating, sitting in her office there at the Chrysler building around all this. It was wild. But watch for this pastor, Amos Brown, her pastor, that dues-paying member. That's what she says. And let's see what other things he's been involved in. But can you imagine some Asian guy they're allegedly threatening here? Big thing in San Francisco, because a guy had the nerve to rap about the mayor and blame the mayor and her policies for all the nonsense that's going on. Just everyday life in San Francisco. So it's coming with Vice President Harris, the background, the stuff that she's involved in. There's a lot of radical circles here. Some of the things as senator that are still out there. The media is going to try. The main one right now, the easier one, is border czar. Dan, let's play that again one time before we go to the lightning round. Here is, it's like a ping pong thing. You're going to hear people, when this was announced, mainstream media, not conservatives, you're going to hear them make the case that what you're seeing here is the border czar. Everybody called her that. And then you're going to hear what they're saying now about border czar Harris.
Vice President Harris was not a border czar.
Meantime, Vice President and border czar Kamala Harris facing some backlash.
What he said about Harris and immigration was not true. She was never appointed border czar.
And this will be her first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border region since she was appointed as the border czar by President Biden.
People are going to have to counter the misinformation. You already hear folks talking about the border czar. She wasn't the border czar.
President Biden tapped Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, to be the border czar.
Now, she wasn't the border czar. That's what Republicans labeled her.
They were very critical of Kamala Harris, especially in her role as border czar.
Now what she's up against is folks lying about her border record, calling her a border czar.
Kamala Harris, who was appointed as the border czar.
The Biden team didn't declare her the border czar. They wanted her to work on kind of the root causes of immigration.
There has been so much criticism against Kamala Harris. You know, she was the border czar.
Calling her sort of the border czar, which wasn't necessarily the case.
So the border, if they weren't planning to address it in a major way, do not make her your border czar. She met with some of the Northern Triangle countries, but nothing has effectively changed.
All right, that's Kamala Harris. That's the situation. She was the border czar. There's no getting around that. It was more than just going to Guatemala and the roots of this, etc. She was put in charge of it because there was a lot of commentary at the time that she wouldn't want to do that because it was such a disaster. But she was also itching to say, I'm doing something as vice president. What's her portfolio? What is it as vice president that she was actually doing? You may remember that Mike Pence was kind of made COVID czar on getting the vaccine out and various things during COVID. Vice presidents want stuff like that, usually. But the identity of being associated with the biggest emotional issue now is not good for her. So the media, it's one thing to show bias. To go back and start excising things that you wrote, hiding things from the American public. These people in the media know she was the border czar. And trying to erase that is not going to be effective. It's going to be seen as silly. And worse, the levels they're going to do it, you can't get away from this in the usual way of burying something. It's too prominent, too fixed. Republicans have to do a good job, though, first at securing that. She is the border czar, and then what the result is. 855-839-1210. We're ready for the lightning round.
Got a nice compliment on Twitter from Carrie, Don.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Dan, not usually a fan of facial hair, but I will say when it's very well groomed, it can look professional. People who grow it long and have a big scraggly beard look like unwashed mountain men, but yours looks good, Dan.
Oh, but Dan's not running for vice president. It is J.D. Vance. Yeah, how does
this
look?
Look relatable. It's fine.
You see it as relatable.
It's fine. Fun guy. Yeah, J.D. the fun guy.
I think
let loose on the weekend.
Okay, well, then he's on the cutting edge, because why for 100 years haven't we had a bearded guy? It just doesn't happen somewhere along the line.
Society progresses, you know?
Well, so you think it might be an advantage?
Yeah.
Okay. It does stand out. I could see Trump with him going, no. With Don Jr.
Should we start pushing that as like a positive J.D.
Yeah.
Vance, the first ever bearded vice president?
There you go. Can you see Trump in the room and Don Jr. has a beard is going, come on, you know, this guy's great. It's a beard. I just can't. We'll have a chance to talk with Don Trump Jr., of course, on September 12th. Remember, get your tickets. 1210 WPHT.com.
Abraham Lincoln had a beard.
We know that. But he was also not the best looking or groomed individual to Anna
Metzger. Rutherford B. Hayes had a beard.
Yes, look at Rutherford B. Hayes. They had it back in those days. Yeah, they did it back in those days. Why don't we do it anymore? And the answer is there's something about it that people don't find appealing, I think, at least politically.
Who's the most recent one to have a beard? Let's see. Harry Truman.
Harry Truman didn't have a beard. Are you kidding me?
Supposedly he did.
No, the most recent, I can't
1948,
even think.
Harry Truman beard.
Yeah?
Hold on, I got to see if there's a picture of
this. I don't think there's any Harry Truman beard, so.
He had a goatee in the fall of 48.
Harry Truman?
Yeah.
All right, see, you got to save that picture. All right, I'm trying to, before Truman.
There are no pictures of it.
Yeah.
There are no, no.
Dan, it's got to go back.
It's like Will Chamberlain's 100-point game.
I don't even know from 1900 on. If there was anybody with a beard that's up there.
You know, the mystic nature of Harry Truman's beard right there with Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
All right, I'll let you get that one.
No
in.
Pictures of it, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.